O. Henry, Hearts and Crosses. Baldy Woods reached for a bottle and got it. When Baldy wanted something, he usually got it. He poured out a third drink, which was larger than the first and second. Baldy had been listening to the troubles of a friend. Now Baldy was going to tell his friend what to do, so the friend was buying him the drinks. This was the right thing for a friend to do. "I would be king if I were you," said Baldy. Webby Eager pushed back his wide hat. He put his fingers in his yellow hair, but this did not help him to think better, and that's why he also got another drink. "If a man marries a queen, he ought to be something," said Webb. Here was his problem. "You're right," said Baldy. "You ought to be a king, but you're only the queen's husband. That's what happens to a man if he marries the king's daughter. His wife becomes a queen. But is he a king? No. His only duty is to appear in photographs and be the father of the next king. That's not fair." "Yes, Webb. You're only the queen's husband, and if I were you, I'd turn everything upside down and would be king." Baldy emptied his glass. "Baldy," said Webb, "you and I have been cowboys together for years. I know you very well. I would not talk about my family to anyone but you. You were working on the Napolito ranch when I married Santa McAllister. I was a chief workman then. But what am I now? Nothing." "When old McAllister was cattle king of West Texas," Baldy went on, "you were important. You told people what to do. Your orders were as strong as his." "That was true," said Webb, "until he found out that I was going to marry Santa. Then he sent me as far away from the ranch house as he could. When the old man died, they started to call Santa the Cattle Queen. Now I'm boss of the cattle, that's all. She takes care of all the business. She keeps all the money. I've no right to sell any cattle, not one animal. Santa is the queen, and I am nobody." "I'd be king if I were you," repeated Baldy Woods again. "When a man marries a queen, he ought to be equal to her. Plenty of people think so, Webb." "Your words mean nothing on the ranch. Mrs. Yeager is a beautiful lady, but a man ought to be the head of his own house." Webb was very sad. Now he looked like a schoolboy who'd lost his leadership to a stronger boy. "I'm riding back to the ranch today," he said. It was clear that he didn't want to go. "I have to start some cattle to San Antone in the morning." "I'll go with you as far as Dry Lake," said Baldy. The two friends got on their horses and left the little settlement where they had had their meeting this morning. At Dry Lake, they stopped to say goodbye to each other. They had been riding for several miles in silence. But now Webb added some words to those that had been said 10 miles away. "You remember, Baldy, this time when Santa was different. You remember the days when old McAllister kept me away from the ranch house. You remember how she used to send me a sign that she wanted to see me. Old McAllister had said he would kill me if I came up to her. You remember the sign she used to send, Baldy? It was a picture of a heart with a cross inside of it." "Me?" cried Baldy. "Don't I remember? Every cowboy on the ranch knew that sign of yours. We would see it on the things sent out from the ranch. We would see it on everything. It would be drawn on newspapers, on boxes of food. Once I saw it on the back of the shirt of a cook that was sent from the ranch. Santa was made to promise her father that she wouldn't write to me or send me any word. That heart and cross sign was her idea. When she wanted to see me, she put that mark on different things that she knew I would see. And when I saw it, I rode quickly to the ranch the same night. We used to have meetings outside the house." "We all knew it," said Baldy. "But we never said anything. We wanted you to marry Santa. When we saw the heart and cross sign on something from the ranch, we always knew your horse was going to go fast that night." "The last time Santa sent me this sign," said Webb, "was when she was ill. When I saw it, I got on my horse and rode quickly. It was a 40-mile ride. I went to the house because she was not at the meeting place. Her father met me at the door. "Did you come here to be killed?" he asked. "I won't kill you now. I was going to send for you. My daughter wants to see you. Go in that room and see her. After that, come and see me, for we have to talk." Santa was in her bed. She was very ill. When she saw me, she smiled, and I sat down by the bed, though my clothes were very dirty. "Webb," she said, "I was sure you would come. Did you see the sign?" "I saw it," I said. "It's our sign." She said, "Hearts and crosses, they mean to love and suffer." And old Dr. Musgrove was there. Santa went to sleep, and Doctor said to me, "Go away now. The little lady will be all right in the morning." Old McAllister was outside her room. "She's sleeping," I said, "and you can kill me. Take your time. I've nothing to fight with." Old McAllister laughed and said to me, "It's not a good idea to kill the best chief workman in West Texas. I don't know where I could get another one like you. I don't want you to become a member of my family, but I can use you on the ranch if you stay away from the house. You better go and sleep, and then we'll talk." At this moment, the two friends were going to separate. They shook hands with each other. "Goodbye, Baldy," said Webb. "I'm glad to see you and to talk." And the two riders were on their way. Then Baldy stopped and shouted, "If I were you, I would be king." At 8 o'clock the following morning, Bud Turner got off his horse at the Nopalito Ranch House. Bud was the cowboy who was taking the cattle to San Antone. Mrs. Yeager was outside the house, watering her flowers. Santa was like her father, King McAllister. She never hesitated. She was afraid of nothing. She was very proud. But she looked like her mother. She was very pretty. She was a woman, and her manners were womanly. Yet she liked to be queen. Webb stood near her, giving orders to the cowboys who had come for instructions. "Morning," said Bud. "Where do you want the cattle to go? To Barber's, as usual?" Santa always answered this question. All the business, buying, selling, spending money, had been in her hands. Her husband was to take care of the cattle. When her father was alive, Santa had been his secretary and helper. She continued his work and was very successful. But this day, before she could answer, her husband spoke. "You drive these cattle to Zimmerman and Nesbitt's. I spoke to Zimmerman about it." Bud turned and wanted to go. "Wait," called Santa quickly. She looked at her husband with surprise in her grey eyes. "What do you mean, Webb?" she asked. "I never deal with Zimmerman and Nesbitt. Barber has bought all the cattle from this ranch for 5 years. I'm not going to change my partners." She turned to Bud Turner. "Take those cattle to Barber." Bud did not know what to do. He stood there waiting. "I want these cattle to go to Zimmerman and Nesbitt," said Webb. His eyes were cold. "It's time to start," said Santa to Bud. "Tell Barber we'll have more cattle ready in about a month." Bud looked at Webb. "You take those cattle," said Webb, "to Barber," finished Santa sharply. "Let's stop our discussion. What are you waiting for, Bud?"
"Nothing, Mum," said Bud.
But he did not hurry to move away, because he did not like what was happening.
"You heard what she said," cried Webb. "We do what she orders."
"Webb," said Santa, "you're acting foolish today."
"I'm acting like a queen's fool," said Webb. "What can you expect? Let me tell you, I was a man before I married you. What am I now? The cowboys laugh at me. But I'm going to be a man again."
Santa looked at him closely.
"Be reasonable, Webb," she said quietly. "Everything's all right. You take care of the cattle. I take care of the business. You understand the cattle. I understand the business better than you do. I learned it from my father."
"I want to be the king," said Webb.
"All right." It's your ranch. Barber gets the cattle. Webb got on his horse. There is a herd of cows and calves at the Hondo waterhole, he said. They ought to be moved away from there. Wild animals have killed three of the calves. Tell Sims about it. Santa put a hand on the horse and looked in her husband's eyes. Are you going to leave me, Webb? She asked quietly. I'm going to be a man again, he answered. I wish you success, she said, with a sudden coldness. She turned and walked into the house. Webb Yeager went to the southeast as straight as he could ride, and nobody at the Nopalito knew more about him. Days passed, then weeks, then months, but Webb Yeager did not return. One day a man stopped at the ranch house. It was noon and he was hungry. He sat down at the dinner table. He talked while he was eating. Mrs. Yeager, he said, I saw a man on the Seco Ranch with your name, Webb Yeager. He was the chief workman there. He was a tall, yellow-haired man. Someone of your family? A husband, said Santa. That is good for the Seco Ranch. Mr. Yeager is the best chief workman in the West. Everything at the ranch had been going well. For some years they had been working with different kind of cattle. These cattle had been brought from England, and they were very good. They had been successful at the ranch, and men on other ranches were interested in their cattle. As a result, one day a cowboy arrived at the ranch and gave the queen a letter. Mrs. Yeager, the Nopalito Ranch, I have been told by the owners of the ranch to buy 100 of your English cattle. If you can sell these to the Seco, send them to us with the man who brings this letter. We will then send you the money. Respectfully, Webb Yeager, Chief Workman, Seco Ranch. Business is business. That night the 100 head of cattle were driven from the pasture to the ranch house, ready for an early start the next morning. When night came and the house was quiet, did Santa Yeager cry alone? Did she clasp the letter to her heart? Or did she place the letter with other business letters in her office? There is no answer to these questions. In the middle of the night, Santa went quickly out of the ranch house. She was dressed in something dark. She stopped for a moment under a tree. There was moonlight, and the bird was singing, and there was a smell of flowers. Santa turned her face towards the southeast and threw three kisses in that direction. Then she hurried quietly to a small building. What she did there, we don't know, but there was the light of fire and a strange noise. Later, she came out with a strange iron tool in one hand. In the other, she had something that held a small fire. She hurried in the moonlight to the place where the English cattle had been gathered. Most of the cattle were dark red, but there was one as white as milk. And now Santa caught that white cow, as cowboys catch the cattle. Then she ran to the fire she had carried here. She took from it that strange iron tool. It was white hot. There was a loud cry from the animal as the white hot iron burned its skin, but no one seemed to hear. All on the ranch were quiet. She ran back to the house and there fell onto a bed. In the morning, the young man who had brought the letter started toward the Seco Ranch. He had cowboys with him to help with the cattle. It took them 6 days to get to the ranch. The animals arrived at Seco Ranch one evening as it was getting dark. They were counted by the chief workman of the ranch. The next morning, at 8 o'clock, a horseman appeared at the Nopalito Ranch House. He got down from the horse and walked to the house. The man entered the house. Two arms fell around his neck, and someone cried out in the voice of a woman and queen, Webb. Oh, Webb. I was wrong, said Webb Yeager. Hush, said Santa. Did you see it? I saw it, said Webb. What were they speaking about? You can guess, if you have read the story carefully. "Be the cattle queen," said Webb. "Forget what I did, if you can. I was so wrong." "Hush," said Santa again, putting her finger upon his mouth. "There's no queen here. Do you know who I am?" "I'm Santa Yeager." "Come here." She led him into a room. There stood a low baby's bed, and in the bed was a baby, a beautiful laughing baby, talking in words that no one could understand. "There's no queen on this ranch," said she again. "Look at the king. He's got your eyes, Webb." There was a sound of steps outside, and Bud Turner was there at the door. He asked the same question he'd asked almost a year ago. "Good morning. Shall I drive those cattle to Barber's or..." He saw Webb and stopped with his mouth open. "Ba ba 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 ba," cried the king, waving his arms. "You hear what he says, Bud," said Webb. "We do what the king orders. And that is all. But there is one more thing. When the owner of the Seco Ranch went to look at his new English cattle, he asked his new chief workman, 'What is the Nopalito Ranch's mark?' 'X over Y,' was the answer." "I thought so," said the owner. "But look at that white animal there. She has another mark, a heart with a cross inside. Whose mark is that?"